Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a subject that everyone at one time or another will be discussing with someone. And what is that? It's about death. But my guest, Michael Tim, he put out a book called The Afterlife Revealed, What Happens After We Die. And I think you'll find what we're going to be discussing interesting. Because I don't know about you, but I have had experiences more than one with people that have passed over on various levels of expression. And I know Michael has too. Now, Michael is in Hawaii where the golden rays are beaming down on him. And he said, yeah, the weather gets a little boring. Okay, I think a lot of us that are starting into winter would say, we'll take boredom, Michael. It's okay. We'll take boredom. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, Donna.
Now, you have a quote right at the very beginning of your book, and I'm going to read it. It's by Goss. When a man is 75, he cannot help sometimes thinking about death. The thought of it leaves me perfectly calm, for I'm convinced that our spirit is absolutely indestructible. It is like the sun, which only seems to sink, and in reality, never sinks at all. Michael, why did you decide that you wanted to write this book? What was it that prompted you? Did you go through some unique experience of your own? What was it that made you determine that this is something that had to be put into print?
Yeah, well, I'm at that age now myself, 75, and I, you know, for the first 50 years of my life, I really wasn't that concerned with death or what comes after death. I was so busy, as most people are, you know, working, taking care of a family and had hobbies and so forth, and there just wasn't time to think about it. And then, you know, in my early 50s, I happened to stumble upon a book about Edgar Cayce and read that on a train going from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta, and that sort of whetted my appetite for the whole subject. I started reading more, and it just gradually evolved. Initially, I was reading about reincarnation and healing, and went from there to near-death experiences. And then in 1999, I had an interesting experience when I was visiting London and stopped in at the Spiritual Association and had a little reading there that was very evidential. And it's just gradually evolved, and being a journalist, I started writing about the subject, and after I retired from my full-time job, I started writing more and more about it, and so now I'm sort of consumed with the whole subject.
Now, you're the vice president of the Academy of Spirituality and Paranormal Studies in Kailua, Hawaii, and you've written for a number of magazines that carry articles on the paranormal, like Fate Magazine, Mysteries, Atlantis Rising, and various other ones. What was one of the most significant shifts that you found yourself as you were the journalist and you were writing about different aspects of the paranormal, of which there is an infinite array? What was it that had the greatest impact on you when you started doing it?
Well, let me correct something first. The Academy is not in Kailua, Hawaii. I live in Kailua, but the Academy is actually based in Connecticut.
I apologize. Thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't really have an office. It's a group of a couple of hundred people, a lot of academics who are interested in the whole area of spirituality and paranormal studies, and we get together once a year with an annual conference, and we have two publications that we put out. I'm the editor of both of them, the journal and what's called Searchlight, which is a mini magazine. But anybody who's interested can just put in the Academy of Spirituality and Paranormal Studies into a Google search, and they can bring up the website for it. But to directly answer your question, that there was no, as I said, I had a reading, and I was visiting London in 1999. My wife and I went out for a walk, and we happened to come upon the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain, which was a Victorian house in a nice little community there, not far from Harrods. And we decided to go in and see what it was all about. It was about 2:30 in the afternoon, and we found out that they had clairvoyant readings every day at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So we decided to stay for the clairvoyant reading and just, you know, see what we would get, if anything. And there were about 15 people there. The clairvoyant came into the room. I think it was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle room that we were sitting in. And she immediately started going around to various people, telling them, you know, I'm getting a person here named John, and is telling me that he's your former spouse or so forth. And anyway, she went around the room, and everybody seemed quite impressed with her, until then she came to me and she said, I've got somebody here for you by the name of George, but he's not coming through very strongly, and I'm not getting much information about him. And I didn't, you know, I had two friends named George, but I knew both of them were still alive, and it just didn't ring any bell with me. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know who that would be, and she tried to get more information, and she couldn't. And so she moved on and then went to my wife, and she also had a George for him, who was her Uncle George, and it was very evidential to her that it was her Uncle George that she was talking about. Well, anyway, I left that night thinking I was the only failure. Everybody else seemed very happy with the information they got, and my wife and I drove around England and Scotland and Wales and then came back to London, and I decided to go back one more time, and this time I went by myself. My wife went shopping at Harrods, it was a different clairvoyant this time, and an elderly lady, about 85 or so, came in with a walker, she started going around. There were about 15 people there also, and the other people were getting very evidential readings, and I was about the sixth or seventh one she came to, and she said, there's somebody named George standing right behind you with his hands on his shoulder. And, you know, that just sort of blew my mind, because, you know, they didn't know I was coming, number one. I've told people this story, and they say, oh, well, they researched you, and they found out, and so forth. But they didn't even know I was coming. You just walk in, you pay your £6, about $10 U.S., and go in. Nobody knows you're coming. Nobody asked for my name. And so, I said, I don't know who George, who it is. And she closed her eyes, and she said, he's telling me that he's a former colleague who passed into spirit about 20 years ago of a blood-related disease. He's telling me, he said he's been around you in your office, and he's glad you have a job that you now like. Well, it still didn't ring a bell. You know, I assumed if somebody was going to communicate with me, it'd be my deceased brother or mm-hmm. grandfather or somebody like that. It just didn't ring a bell. And so I left again, you know, that evening, thinking, you know, it was another failure. But then all of a sudden it dawned on me on my way back to my hotel that there was a George that worked with me 20 years earlier. I left the company. He didn't, and went with another company, so I didn't keep in touch with him, and he was not a good friend. He was somebody I had coffee with two or three days a week on our coffee breaks, but he was not really that good of a friend. But anyway, as I recall, he died about a year after I left the company. I couldn't remember what he died of, so when I got back to Hawaii, I called my a mutual friend at our old company, and I said, what did George die of? And he said he died of leukemia. You know, a blood-related disease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that we used to talk about on our coffee breaks is I really disliked the job. I didn't care for the management, and he knew I was very unhappy with the job, and that's why I left. So the comment about him being around me in my office and knowing that I had a job that I liked was evidential in itself. And it was about 20 years ago. This was 1999, and he died in 1979. So it all came together then, and that sort of encouraged me to start learning more about mediumship. As I say, at that time, I was studying near-death experiences and healing and reincarnation and so forth, and that got me into the whole mediumship area, and that's been my primary interest since.
You have in your book, which I think for anybody that wanted to read about the various modalities of psychic ability and mediumship, it's one of the things, you've got a lot of reference points that you've pulled out. But there were researchers and mediums that you talk about in the book. One is Maurice Barbanel, mm-hmm. and he was known as a medium for an entity known as Silver Birch. He died in 1981. There's Sir William Barrett, who was born in the middle 1800s, and you talk about him. Geraldine Cummins, who was a gifted automatic writer. Andrew Jackson Davis, who was very well known as a clairvoyant and healer. Emily French, who was a direct voice medium. Alan Kardec, a French educator and philosopher. He was an investigator. Gladys Leonard, who was considered one of the most well-known trance mediums. And then Sir Oliver Lodge, William Stanton Moses, who was a clergyman of the Church of England, who was a researcher, Frederick Myers, and he was one of the founders of the Society for Psychical Research, and he helped to put that together. Lenora Piper was very, very well known. She was an American medium and just has a fascinating history. William Stead, a journalist, a person, and Emanuel Swedenborg, who was a man that had a number of very special experiences. This must have been a real exciting journey in some respects, because when you read about these people, their history, the records that have been kept on various individuals, so much of this was really documented well and thoroughly. Now, there's always been the hucksters, and with spiritualism, one of the things with spiritualism, which has always been very special, is that the fact that they celebrate the aspect of life with those that have passed on. And I can remember being in a spiritualist church many years ago where if they would sing happy birthday to the people that had passed on, they said, when people pass on, it's not the end. And it was a very strong component. And being in the spiritualist church in England, that's where a lot of this started. Not that it hasn't been going on for centuries, but the English were way ahead of anybody else in the Western world as far as the understanding of this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sitting here between two stacks of books. I have a spare bedroom I call my library, and I have about over 1,000 books on the subject, and maybe 500 of them are pre-1950, which to me is those are the best books on the whole subject. But unfortunately, you know, most people have, or most religious scholars and scientists have felt that this was all outdated science and debunked, and you know, it couldn't be reconciled with Orthodox religion because it wasn't consistent with the Bible in all respects. So it just sort of has been forgotten, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I mean, my first book, which was called The Articulate Dead, was more on the evidential aspects. The Afterlife Revealed is not so much on the evidential, but what was communicated as far as dying and the afterlife is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you, I have a great deal of enthusiasm for the subject because it's been a major part of my life. And I've known of different people. My goodness, there was Arthur Ford, who was a very well-known medium. There was Bishop Pike, who wrote a phenomenal book called The Other Side about his son that committed suicide, and his son coming back to him and giving him information. And that's one of the chapters in your book is called The Messengers. And you have an interesting story about a woman by the name of Pearl Curran of St. Louis, Missouri. And this involved automatic writing, which is something that people can actually learn to do if they want to do it. It takes a lot of patience to do it. But it is something that can be employed. Tell us about Pearl Curran.
Okay, Pearl Curran was a St. Louis housewife, about 28 or 29 years of old. This is in 1914, I think it was. And she and her mother and a neighbor used to sit and sew and while their husbands played cards in the next room. And one day, one of them suggested they get a Ouija board and see if they could get anything from it. Pearl wasn't too anxious to do it. She thought it was all a bunch of baloney, but she went along with it. And they played around with the Ouija board, and they really got nothing. There was some indication they were getting some kind of messages, but they couldn't make sense of them. And this went on for about 9 months. And then finally, they started getting clear messages from an entity calling herself Patience Worth. Patience Worth said that she was that she was born in England and migrated to the United States, where she was killed by Indians, and I forget the year, 1645 or something like that. But it came through initially in very antiquated English, old English, Shakespearean type English, even before Shakespeare. And so they started recording these messages. The three women that were there started recording these messages. They didn't realize at the time that Pearl Curran was the actual medium, but when she didn't show up or couldn't make it one night or participate, they were getting nothing at that time. So it was only when Pearl was sitting that the messages were coming through. And so initially, they realized that she was the medium. First messages came through on the Ouija board, but then it turned to automatic writing. Pearl would go into sort of a semi-trance and start writing things that were coming from patients. And she published a number of books that were written by, Patience Worth. Pearl herself didn't get past the eighth grade, but there's all kinds of wisdom and truths coming through these messages, and it became pretty clear that it wasn't coming from Pearl's mind. She had never been more than a few hundred miles outside of St. Louis, and as I said, had not graduated from the eighth grade, but all these profound messages were coming through. So she was studied by a number of scholars. Walter Franklin Pierce was the primary investigator, and he concluded that, something definitely paranormal was going on here. It wasn't coming from her mind. The materialistic explanation was that it was all in her subconscious, that she somehow picked it up somewhere, but as Dr. Prince said, she wasn't exposed to this, so how did it get in her subconscious in the first place?
Stories like this are in every culture, and I think it's wonderful when we take the time to read about the documented information. And I know that there are different organizations around the world where they really want to follow through with this, because you have, I feel, a level of fear. And to me, our three greatest enemies are fear, ignorance, and superstition. And when we can understand that when people pass over, there is a capacity for communication, but it may not happen frequently with the person that wants it the most. It may come through someone else for whatever reason. I've encountered people through the years that have said, how come my mother doesn't come to me, but she came to my sister? I had a conversation with a woman just a week ago when I was on a business trip, and she wanted to talk about her mom, and her mom had passed over about 6 months ago. And what occurred is that at the time of her mother's passing, now she was sitting in the hospital room with her mother. She was the one that was responsible for making the choice about not continuing life support, which she had gone into an agreement with her mother. And so she was there. She wanted to be with her when she passed. Well, her sister is in another state, and when the one sister that was sitting with the mother after the mother passed, she said, I'm so disappointed. This is what was going on with Mom, and she could feel the shift that was occurring. She was getting ready to make the transition. And her sister said, well, of course you couldn't see her. Mother was sitting in a chair talking to me right here in my house. Now, this is thousands of miles away.
Right.
And so here's this wonderful experience, but this lady, in a way, I think she was sort of miffed because she's saying, gee, Mom, why didn't you show yourself to me? We don't have answers. We can't control that. And so her mother isn't around her all the time, but this is something that, again, her sister treasures because of this experience that she had. So I think that's one of the gifts that your book, The Afterlife Revealed, What Happens After We Die, what it brings forth is all of these different experiences that people can have. And your 87-year-old mother, tell us about what happened with her and what you recognized about what she was going through.
Well, my mother had either Alzheimer's or dementia, I'm not sure which it was, beginning around age 80. And when she was 87, after my father died, which was about 2 years earlier, we had to put her in a rest home in Berkeley, California. But we went down to visit her regularly, and we decided at Thanksgiving, I think this was, what, year 2003, to go down and bring her up for Thanksgiving, even though she didn't seem to recognize us, and she couldn't eat all. She was on liquid diet at the time, but we still wanted to bring her up. So we drove down. I was living in Oregon at the time, and we drove down from our home in Oregon and picked her up and brought her back, she was there for four days, and we were preparing to drive her back down to Berkeley. So my wife helped get her ready, and let me back up a little bit. We brought her, she had a nurse that was caring for her part-time. We brought the nurse up to Oregon with her, and they were staying together in a downstairs bedroom in our house. But my mother was having a lot of restless moments, and we decided the last night we were going to have her sleep in our bedroom. We had a extra mattress, and we put the mattress at the foot of our bed and had her sleep there. Well, the whole night she was talking. I mean, she just kept jabbering away. I couldn't understand what she was saying. It was just, you know, a lot of gobbledygook. But it seemed like she was pleading with someone, or begging someone, or arguing with someone. I just couldn't figure it out. Well, anyway, in the morning, my wife helped get her ready, and I had to carry her downstairs to take her out to the car. As I was carrying her downstairs, her eyes rolled back in her head, and her head dropped, and you know, she just died in my arms. And so my in retrospect, looking at that, I think my mother, you know, chose her time to die. She wanted to die in my house, not go back to the rest home in Berkeley. And all that conversation going on the night before, I conclude, was either my mother arguing but pleading with someone to either help her disengage from her body, or else she was so afraid of death that they were telling her it's time to go, but she didn't want to go. I'm not sure which it was, but that was my read on the whole subject.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do know from personal experience that it's not uncommon for those that are getting ready to pass over to see the loved ones from the other side. And sometimes it's a couple of months before it happens, but they know. And I've even had people tell me, I will not be around at a certain time because it's time for me to go. And I've known of many families who have had someone say this to them, and they'll say, oh, no, that's not going to happen. They'll say, no, it's my time. I'm going to be going, so let's do what we're going to do. Let's get things in order because I'm going to be gone. And sure enough, they are. And this is something that I think is actually comforting. I don't see it as a negative at all. And I think the chatter you're talking about is very real. And you bring out the information from Jenny Chapelier, who is the senior coordinator of bereavement services at the Tidewell Hospice in Sarasota, Florida. And she had all kinds of stories to tell you. And I was in a facility for the elderly. Oh, my goodness, it was about a month ago. And they said, oh, we have people coming through here all the time. We have spooks. We're all used to it. We have people that come in, and we know when they're going to get ready to pass. I mean, it's just, it's wonderful. It really is, I think. It's wonderful. It takes away, I think, the fear. Would you agree on that?
No, I definitely agree. And you know, but what's unfortunate, I think, I mean, you mentioned Jenny, and she's with hospice. That hospice, even though a lot of the people who help out at hospice are very familiar with and are spiritual people and are familiar with this type of the thing we're talking about, hospice itself does not condone it. I mean, it's a sort of a taboo subject. You don't you know, if I were to try to go in and into a local hospice, in fact, I tried. I you know, called the local hospice coordinators of two different hospices and told them I'd like to give a little talk on, and told them what the subject was, my book and the subject of life after death. Oh, no, we don't talk about that. You know, that's up to our chaplains to talk about. So that to me is the unfortunate part, because most of the chaplains, just don't know what's going on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I mean, they're still teaching, a horrific hell and a humdrum heaven, and it's of little comfort to most hospice patients, unfortunately, and so.
I agree.
I don't know what the answer is to that.
One of the things that has happened, and I've known this again to occur to a lot of people, you've got a story in here about a Mike Swain who was killed in an automobile accident. He began communicating with his father, Jasper, who was a South African lawyer. And his dad had sought out a medium. And I always chuckle when I hear people saying, well, you're not supposed to go to mediums, this is the work of the devil or whatever. I just have to laugh. Because in the Bible, which often they'll quote, and being a minister, I mean, this is something I'm very familiar with, they will say, oh, well, no, that wasn't it. And I say, well, excuse me, but you have Samuel in the Old Testament. You have all kinds of stories where people had the gift of vision or the gift of sight and seeing spirit and all of this. And why is it's okay there, but it's not okay in everyday life? And it is something that I think, again, you have this level of ignorance and fear and superstition. But the son, I really liked what he said here, and I'm going to quote it right from your book. Dad, everything comes here through the gates of death. You have to rearrange your values to appreciate its virtues. So while you're still on earth, your thought, your intentions, everything you do gives your soul a certain rate of vibration. And he said, let's suppose your soul is vibrating in a 50 megacycle band. When you die and manifest here, you would go straight to the part of our world which vibrates at 50 megacycles. By the same token, if you're a slow-thinking sort of bloke who can only vibrate to 15 megacycles, then you'll become a part of the world in a 15-megacycle range. It all depends on your rate of vibration. Now, this is something that came through to the father. And I just have known so many stories where people, when a loved one has gone, when there is someone that has died, it could be a very, very dear friend, it doesn't make any difference, it even could be an animal. And when you get these communications, they're so comforting. They're so absolutely comforting.
I agree. And you know, back to the Bible, I think most of the passages that the fundamentalists and evangelicals rely on are in Deuteronomy and Ecclesiastes. There's one that says that the dead know nothing, and another one that passage that says that we shouldn't be talking to the dead. But what... it's my understanding that in the translation from the ancient, from the Hebrew to the Greek to the Latin to the English, the word dead originally meant the spiritually dead, and they were referring to low-level or earthbound spirits. But somehow, you know, in the translations, it just came out the dead, all the dead. So it was good advice not to listen to the low-level or the earthbound spirits, but I think religion got that all, confused. And, you know, then we go to the New Testament, John 4:1, I think it is says that we should test the spirits whether they are of God. But how do you test them if you don't listen to them in the first place? You know, if they know nothing, you know, why bother to test them?
Well, I think that those on the other side are not too much different from us here. If you have somebody that was a ding-dong in life, he's pretty much going to be a ding-dong on the other side. So you have to be discerning, and you have to be discriminating. But you also have to be open, and that is something that I think is very important. And the reality is, I feel, that unless someone has gone through experiences themselves, it's very difficult to relate. And if you're afraid... and you're not willing to open yourself up to the reality that there's so much more to life than we can ever see, hear, touch, or feel, it is, well, you're just going to have an experience of your own. That's all I can say. And once you have it, then you never can go back to that modality of ignorance and fear, because you realize, hey, there's a lot more. And that's what happened with Bishop Pike with his son after he committed suicide. It's really fascinating. And you've got so many wonderful stories in this book, The Afterlife Revealed. I know we're just about out of time, Michael. What is your website that people can go to find out more about your publications?
It's whitecrowbooks.com.
Okay, white, the color white, crow.
White Crow, C-R-O-W, books. But it's easier if they just put my name into a Google search, Michael Tim, last name T-Y-M-N, and then it'll bring up that site as well as several other sites that I have some material published at.
Well, Michael, I'm so delighted that you were with me today. I think what you have done with research and giving information, it's just a fascinating read. And I think it's something for someone that's just beginning, as you did at one time. I think it's a good publication to review.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Check out whitecrowbooks.com or Michael Tim, T-Y, M like Mary, N like Nellie, The Afterlife Revealed. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you'd like to chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I know we've got a caller on the line. Let me give out the number one more time, 888-627-6008. Let's show you how it's done. And if you want to talk to me today, you can. Welcome to the show, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, it's Catherine. I'm calling from Canada.
Hi, Catherine. Where in Canada?
The East Coast.
The East Coast. Is it getting a wee bit brisk there?
Actually, not too bad. We've had a great fall so far.
Hey,
at least where I live.
Deal. That's wonderful. Okay, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I'm looking at, Catherine, in my mind is there's two things that are going to be going on. Number one, you're getting ready to purge. I don't know if it's going through a library, going through closets, but I'm seeing you standing and looking at things and saying, okay, it's time for me to get rid of some stuff. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to make up your mind as to how you want to do it, and you're the type of person, once you make up your mind, you got to do it right then and right there. You don't want to procrastinate, because if you procrastinate, it might be another year before you get to what you need to do. So you're saying, this is what I want to do. I'm going to do it. And I would just encourage you to use either large plastic bags or have boxes that you can put stuff in. And I think you're going to just be like a whirlwind. You're just going to do what needs to be done really, really quickly. And then I'm seeing you saying, and this looks like the month of November, you are saying to yourself, you know, I really need to have some quiet time. I really need to think through what I want to do, what I want to accomplish. And that's what you're going to do. You are going to take some time. You're going to mark a day, maybe 2 days, and you're just going to totally involve yourself in you. And I think that this is so wise because you're looking at making a gigantic change in the middle of 2012. So you're trying to get, what I'd say, ahead of the game, trying to make heads up so that you can be totally prepared for the shift that you perceive is going to be coming as of, I'd say, June or July of 2012. And I believe you're right on the money. You're learning to trust your own intuitive processes more. That's not been something that's been always easy for you, but you're learning to do that. So what is happening is that as you have more confidence with that, you're going to be moving forward. Now, something that I'm observing with you is that you need to pay attention to how your body responds to certain items. And what I'm feeling, I feel like I've put something in my mouth, and I don't know if it's a piece of candy, if it's some kind of organic food, or it's a treat of some kind. And I'm saying, you're saying, oh, I really like this. And then maybe after about 5 or 10 minutes, your mouth begins to feel a little funny. And you go, that's really strange. So you have some more of whatever it is that you're enjoying. And you're going, this is giving me a reaction. My body does not like this. And you're going to be surprised because you're going to think, wow, this is really healthy for me. But your body's going to tell you it's not so healthy. So trust yourself. And one of the things I want you to remember is that there are certain teas, if you decide you want to try some, great. But you're going to find certain teas affect the inside of the mouth. And that'll just let you know that you need to avoid certain ones because of the chemical composition of the tea. And so just learn to trust yourself with this, and your body will give you a very good indicator of what you should and should not have. And that goes with anything. You might be out in a restaurant and decide you want to have something, and you say, gee, I wonder if I should have that. Let me give you a tip about a little bit of kinesiology. Before you order food, or if you have a menu in front of you, take your two hands and with your forefinger, with each hand, touch your thumb. And what you'll have are two circles. You have your other three fingers free. And then what I want you to do, I want you to put those two fingers within each other and then ask the question or say, move for yes. And if you move for yes, then it's going to, you're not going to be able to open your fingers. If you say move for no, you can't keep the fingers locked. You'll just come through. So what you do, this is just a simple kinesiology element. Maybe you say on the menu, gee, should I have, let's say, a beefsteak with deep-fried potatoes and tartar sauce? That, what a grotesque combination I'm getting here. But anyway, you test it, and you pull your fingers to see if you should have it, and your fingers won't stay closed. You'll find that you'll be able to pull them apart real easily. And then maybe you have something else where maybe it is pheasant with braised asparagus and something else, and you test that, and you go, ooh, I can't pull my fingers apart. This is very good for me. And you could do this underneath the table. I've done this, and it's really fun to do. And it's as if your body tells you what you should have and what you shouldn't have. So be aware that you are going to be able to enjoy many foods that will be very good for you that maybe you wouldn't have given a consideration to because of some particular thought process that you had adopted that somebody else taught you. So I think you're going to find that your health is going to be pretty good. What would you like to ask me today?
Well, I was wondering if there's going to be any change in my family. Like, is there going to be a closeness or are we going to drift apart?
I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I don't think it's an either or. And you've got a family of a pretty good size, and there's a lot of different people here. I think that what you're going to discover is during the next 3 years, there are some members of family that aren't going to be particularly close, but I'd say 5 years from now, there's going to be a very big reunion because of a certain family member. And what you're going to discover is that certain family members have just really had an adventure of their own and have moved because of jobs or certain circumstances that have been in their lives, and I think there's going to be an openness of communication that you're going to be able to enjoy with certain people. But I'd say it's a bit of both.
I see. Well, I'm kind of hoping that there's going to be at least one member brought closer.
Well, I think what you're trying to do is manage something. And what you need to do is make it okay that that person, however they live their life, that they're going to be able to enjoy it to the degree they want to enjoy it. But don't try to make them come in any closer, because they're going through an intense growing cycle right now. Welcome them and leave the choice up to them.
That's what I've been doing, and so far it's been their choice to stay away from me.
Well, and that's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm kind of caught between a rock.
Well, don't worry about it. You're not caught between a rock and a hard spot. You really are not. Just bless that person in your mind. Realize that they're going through their own growth cycle. Things are going to change, but right now this is what it is, so don't try to force it, dear.
I try not to, but it's hard, you know.
Well, it's only hard because it's what you think you're supposed to be doing. And just know that they're going to be all right. They're going to be fine. It's okay. And when they're ready, they'll open the door.
I hope so. That's what I'm praying for.
Well, just let it evolve
way. I do have one other question concerning my health. There was one problem that I had. They finally discovered it and what the problem was, and apparently I had it for a long time, but nobody could find it. But anyway, that's been cleared up, and now I'm concerned, like, with my heart, and one doctor is trying to force one medication on me, and I'm very hesitant about it, and I'm thinking maybe I should take my time with it before I agree to taking it.
Well, I think what you ought to do is this, and this is very practical information. One, I want you to get the research on the medication that he's wanting you to take. And I want you to find out what its track history is. If it is not good, then I would suggest you contact another doctor. If this one doctor keeps insisting on this, then go to another physician and maybe even a third physician to get their opinion. And you need to find out the pluses and the minuses. And if you've already done that, you need to just go a little bit further. Because if you're not feeling good about this, then you need to trust yourself. You need to trust your own instincts. And you need to find out more about what you have been diagnosed with.
Right. Apparently, I was born with it. So I've lived all these years never knowing I had it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not unusual. That's not unusual at all.
And my gut tells me, don't take it.
Well,
that's the way I'm
do what you need to do for yourself, hon. You're on the right track. You do what you know you need to do for yourself. You're very proactive, and I compliment you on that. You need to be. That's very, very important.
Right.
Okay, my dear, I'm going to have to go.
Well, thank you very much, Donna. And
you're
have a great
welcome.
Rest of the day.
You're welcome, and you have a fabulous weekend.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. I know we've got another caller on the line. By the way, let me put out the number, 888-627-6008. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, dear. Your first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name is Amy, and I'm calling from Belgium.
From Belgium. Well, welcome to the show. I'm delighted that you've called in. Amy, the first thing I'm looking at is that you do need to keep on with your education. You've got an excellent mind, and I'm seeing you wanting to be able to be more proficient in educating other people. You want your own knowledge to be more expansive, and of course, as you know, that's something that is an ongoing process. We are never, ever going to know everything. It's not possible. But I really like your sense of commitment, and I want to use the term personal responsibility, and you have a very strong sense of ethics that I think is extremely important, Amy. And it's very discouraging to you when you're around individuals that you find out that they have clay feet, that they're just not everything that they're cracked up to be. Don't be discouraged. Realize that you want to put yourself in the company of individuals that are extremely knowledgeable, very wise, very experienced, and learn from them. And know that you're going to probably, in many cases, surpass the level of knowledge that they may have at some point. But you need that kind of support. So whatever your interest is, if it's in medicine, if it's working with animals, if it's selling real estate, I don't care what it is, align yourself with the people, the materials, the classes that will keep you on what I call that cutting edge. Now, Amy, I know we're going to take a break. Will you stay with me and we'll be right back?
Sure.
All right. Don't go away. This is Donna Siebel. We have Amy from Belgium. We'll be coming back to talk with her some more, and we'll just take a moment. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Before we go back to Amy in Belgium, I want to mention to those of you that are listening from Western Washington, we're putting together a class, me and Robert Newman, called Quantum Mind. It's being held on November the 12th, which is a Saturday, and it's going to be from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. Now, this is a powerhouse of a class. We, Robert and I, want to empower you in your life on multiple levels. So we're going to be, I will be presenting information about development of intuitive skills. He's going to be talking about feng shui. Now, the charge for this class is $39.95 prepaid or $45 at the door. And this is going to be held at a facility, Bridgeport Place, at 5250 Bridgeport Way West here in University Place. And by golly, give me a call. If you want to register for this class, we are filling up. So please get in touch with me, 253-582-5604. We're going to have refreshments. This is very interactive as a class. So do let us know. Let's go back to Amy. Amy in Belgium, are you still with me?
Yep, I'm still with you.
Wonderful. Amy, one thing because we had to go on break, that I didn't say to you that I wanted to say, and that is you need to always have fresh flowers or fresh plants in your environment. There is something with flowers especially that stimulates you creatively, which I think is extremely important. And I know, being in Europe, that all of you love flowers over there. But I really think that you need to remember color is very important for you emotionally and mentally. And live flowers just seem to bring a refreshing aspect into your living space. So that's very important. And there is some traveling that is going to be coming up, I think, between February, March, April of next year that you're really going to enjoy, but you're going to have to plan your time very carefully because you're going to have a very intense and active 2012. Take care of paperwork before the end of this year. It's very important to get that done. What would you like to ask me, Amy?
I don't really have any specific questions, but there's some themes that kind of keep coming up. For me, I was wondering about, like, career and relationship.
All right. Pick one that you want to discuss.
Let's do relationship.
All right. When it comes to relationship, you want that special person in your life. I'm not really seeing anybody in the picture right now because it seems like for the moment there's more of a focus on you and some of the changes that you're implementing in your life. Now, I will say this to you. You're going to have an opportunity to involve yourself in certain social environments that I believe you're really, really going to enjoy. And through those social connections, and this isn't through the internet, these are live and in person, you're going to find yourself meeting some fascinating people. And through meeting these new people, I believe you're also going to meet someone who is going to be a companion for you for a while. But as I watch you in my mind, I am seeing that you're just growing by leaps and bounds as a person. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge to have someone in your space that is going to be that committed relationship, only because you are changing in so many ways, on so many levels, and expanding in your understanding of life, that if someone isn't on the same kind of a wavelength with you, it's going to be challenging. You want to be sure that you have someone that you can really talk with and feel at ease with. So be patient with this. I think that there is going to be that Mr. Wonderful. I'm looking at a wedding ceremony, but I'm not getting a date. And I don't think the man is in your life at this time. I think he is going to be showing up. And I'm getting 2 to 6, so I don't know if it's between February and June of a year. I just don't know. Or between 2 and 6 years. I'm not sure.
Okay, that gives me a lot to think about.
Well, just be patient, I do have my life right now.
Okay.
All right, just be patient. You've got some good things. How did you learn about the show in Belgium?
I listened to Pam Oesley's radio show, and I heard you as a guest speaker on her show. So now I've been listening to
her. Oh, and she's a doll.
Too.
She is just a doll. She's absolutely wonderful. Very talented lady. And thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're just about out of time. There's so many other things that I wanted to share, but let me share this one little thing. This is a cute story. There were apparently two men, one from Florida, one from Texas. They were traveling and happened to meet up with a local Alaskan at a bar in Fairbanks, Alaska. Now, the first guy from Texas began by saying, "I told my wife in no uncertain terms that from now on she'd have to do all the cooking. Well, the first day I saw nothing. The second day I saw nothing. But on the third day when I got home from work, the table was set and a wonderful dinner was prepared with wine and even dessert." Then the man from Florida spoke up, and this is what he said. He said, "I sat my wife down and told her from now on she'd have to do all the grocery shopping and all the cleaning. First day I saw nothing. The second day I saw nothing. But on the third day when I came home, the house was spotless and the pantry was filled with groceries." The guy from Fairbanks, who happened to be married to a lifelong Alaskan woman, sat up straight on his bar stool, pushed out his chest, and he said, "I gave my wife a stern look and told her that from now on she'd have to do all the cooking, all the cleaning, and all the shopping. The first day I saw nothing, the second day I still saw nothing, But by the third day, well, I could see a little bit out of my left eye. True Alaskan hardiness. I couldn't pass that one up. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about ghosts, spirits, and hauntings. This is Donna. Talk to you manana. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.